الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. I also want to mention that while teaching you about the Islamic faith, I want to also encourage you to change your life and start doing what is right and forbidding what is wrong, even if you have a faith or no faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this week's Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on fornication. I might also use the word adultery. But I'll be going back and forth with fornication and adultery, when it basically is the same with just slight differences, and you can always look that up for yourself. Now, in Islam, it's called zina, Z-I-N-A, zina, which is fornication, and sometimes they use the word interchangeably, representing adultery. So I won't get into those logistics. Our definitions. I just want to give you really the meat of today's class, which will be about fornication. And we see fornication all over, where you have the situation where it generally you have immoral sexual intercourse between two people not married to each other, when one or more of the partners or the persons having consensual sex or sexual intercourse is married to another person, and then it is called adultery. So in other words, the two people are having sex with each other, and they're not married to each other, fornication. But if one of those two people, they are married to someone else, and they're having sex with someone, with this other person, then basically it's called adultery. Like I said, they kind of blend in just a little bit, but they have the slight difference when you start talking about the person being married or not being married. You're not married, neither person's married, they're fornicating. And if one of the people are married, or both of them are married, then it's committing adultery. And we see a lot of times this kind of activity is pushed within the society. No matter what society you are, where you are, my society here in the United States, or your society out there wherever you live, you have the traces or evidence of fornication. If you don't, that's a blessing from Allah. But if you do, I want you to be able to recognize it and recognize fornication, and you may be doing it. Maybe you did it last night. Maybe you're thinking about doing it later on today. Or have you done it just a few minutes ago? Okay, you have committed fornication, and of course you go to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah forgives if your sins are high as a mountain or reaches the sky or like the foam of the ocean. Allah is forgiving, and He's most merciful. So I just want to mention that also to my beautiful students. But I want you to understand about fornication from through Islamic eyes, through my eyes as a Muslim, and this class that you've been attending, many of you for a few years now. I think I've been teaching this class since 2018. It's been quite a while, the particular class, and thank you for coming again to this class. Now, we find the encouragement of fornication in music. And you find it also encourage people, of course, to fornicate in music and in movies. And also they use music to make the fornication even, I guess, better or more appealing or more alluring to people. And when you have a little bit of music mixed in with what is going on between the two people. And so I just want to mention that, and you have it social media right now. You listen to me on a podcast or on your radio or wherever you're listening to me, or your phone rather. Then on social media, you have, it's okay to fornicate. It's the way to go to fornicate or commit adultery or zina. At one point, a person who is a virgin, it was okay to be a person that had not had sex outside of marriage, and they were a virgin and saved themselves for marriage. But nowadays, it was a badge of honor. But nowadays, for many people, it is humiliating. If you're saying you are a virgin, or you kind of hide it, that you're a virgin, then people get on your case about it and say, what's wrong with you? No one wants you. All these different things they use to encourage you to fornicate and go against what Allah tells you not to do, which is going to fornicate or commit or have sex with someone before you are married. Don't let them trick you. Don't let them fool you. You are okay. It's okay if you wait until you're married. It's okay in terms of, first of all, from Allah. Allah preferred you not to do that. Allah wants you not to do that, to have sex before marriage, or jump from person to person or bed to bed and have sex with an individual. Again, nowadays, it's okay. It's okay. You have sex with someone. It's a badge of honor. And sometimes amongst men, how I mean, it's like they call notches on our belts. It's like the more women that we have sex with, then the more manly you are in some cases, and maybe in some cultures. And then, of course, women are looked at in a whole nother kind of light, which I won't get into. You all know what I'm talking about. You can always look it up for yourself. And so I want to move on and mention something else to you. And the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he had mentioned something to the people regarding a fornication. And basically what he said was, and that, guarantee me 6 things, and I will guarantee you paradise. When one of you speak, when you speak, he should not lie. And if he entrusted with something, he should not betray that trust. And if he makes a promise, he should not break it. Lower your gaze. Restrain your hands and protect your private parts. Meaning such as since looking provokes the heart to evil, Allah commands the believers to protect their private parts, just as He commands them to protect their gaze, which can lead to that. So, it is mentioned, and basically in one of the ayahs in Quran. And it's mentioned about telling men, قُلْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِ مِنْ وَيَحْفُظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Telling the believing men to lower their gaze and protect their private parts. So you want to understand about Muslims and understand who we are, what we are, and what we truly do. Continue to listen to this episode or these programs that I present on a weekly basis, and you'll learn more about what true Islam is and what Islam is not. So he mentioned here about lowering the person, lowering the gaze. Sometimes protecting the private parts may involve keeping them from zina or committing zina, as the law says, and those who guard their chastity. Sometimes it may involve not looking at certain things, and I mentioned that hadith in a moment. Sometimes you may see, when you're talking to a Muslim man, and sometimes a Muslim woman too, they do the same thing, and that they may not look you in the eye. It's not that they are afraid of you or anything like that. It's just that we're encouraged to look down and look away from the person, and maybe not looking directly at them, or the opposite sex. Maybe the Muslim woman may not look directly at a man, or a Muslim man may not look directly at a woman, trying to guard their modesty to the best of their ability. So I want you to understand the custom of the Muslim, and not that they are hiding something, because sometimes people may think, you don't look me in the eye, you're hiding something. That seems to be some people's mantra, or the way they think, or prove that you're not innocent, that you're guilty because you're not looking a person in the eye. That's not the case with the Muslims. That's not our case. We're not looking in the eye because we're commanded by Allah not to do so, to lower our gaze. Now look at the person at the different parts of their body and be lured in to them by looking at various parts of their body. And so I just want to emphasize to my students is that and understand and recognize, oh, this is a cultural thing. That's why he's not looking at me from, and also it's a cultural thing. That's why she is not looking at me. That's why he or she, they're not shaking my hand. Because culturally, from Islamic standpoint, we should not, a man should not shake hands with the opposite sex. A woman should not shake hands with the opposite sex. They rather have like an iron spike or a big nail like drilled or hammered into their head and take that pain than to reach out and touch a person that they're not related to or of the opposite sex. And so I want you all to also understand that from a cultural standpoint, that's something that we don't do. We don't glance, and for the most part, I'm not saying we all do it. Okay, it's not an absolute thing. But Islamically, we try to avoid eye contact and looking away as far as our glance is concerned, and also as far as shaking hands, me as a male shaking hands of a female or hand of a female that I'm not related to. Or a female, for example, my wife, shaking the hand of a man she's not related to. And so forth. So I want you to understand who we are a little bit better. That's why you all attend this class, to learn more about this religion or this way of life called Islam. For some people, it's mysterious, it's new, it's different. And so I want to teach you the mysterious parts and the different part and the new parts about the beautiful faith of Islam. So let me move on. Still talking about fornication. And so again, it is mentioned about those who guard their chastity. Sometimes it may involve not looking at certain things. And it's one hadith where it was said by the Prophet ﷺ, he said, guard your private parts except from your wife and those whom your right hand possess. Those are related to, that kind of thing. Then your wife or your husband, it's okay to show your private parts. But the other people, showing your private parts are forbidden. Private parts meaning that area, and you all know what I'm talking about private parts. And for some people, it's okay. It's like you're showing that you're a woman or a man. or that you're good. The more of your body you show, the better you are, or the more people like you, or they're attracted to you. Or if you show your private parts, your chest, or that lower area, it's okay, nothing wrong with it. It's my body. I can do whatever I want. But with your body, you have instructions. And the one that created you gave you a list of instruction of what you can do and you cannot do with your body. And that you are not allowed to expose your private parts to people you're not married to. You're not allowed to do that or to show your body parts. And sometimes you may see it basically when a Muslim is swimming, usually males swim with males and females swim with females. And they may have clothing covering their aura, which meaning from their navel to their knee for the men. They don't show that part. They may show other parts of the body above the navel or below the knee, but that in-between part, they're not allowed to show. And for the woman, her aura or her parts that she should not be showing, and some say her hair, and Allah knows best, or her body parts, maybe just showing her hands and showing her feet, or only could show her hands and her feet, or just one of the two that is okay to do, and Allah knows best. I'm not going to get into clothing and that adab or that mannerism. I just mostly try to focus on the whole thing regarding fornication. So let me move on. And Allah says that is pure for them, meaning when they cover their private parts. Thalika azka lahum. That is pure for them. Means it is pure for them and for their hearts and better for their commitment to the religion. As it was said, whoever protects his glance, Allah will illuminate his understanding or his heart. And so I want to also mention to you all where Allah also says, "Inna Allaha khabirun bima yasna'un." Allah is aware of all that you do. We have to always keep in mind that Allah is aware of everything that we do. We cannot get away from it. We cannot hide from Allah. We think we're doing something in the dark and Allah can see you. He can see what you are doing. Or the other people are not around. They can't see me. But Allah is there. He's everywhere. He can see everything. He is El Basir. He is all seeing and all knowing. So let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is, it is mentioned that Allah says, said that the son of Adam has share of zina decreed for him. He will commit that which has been decreed. The zina of the eyes is looking. The zina of the tongue is speaking. The zina of the ears is listening. The zina of the hands is striking or touching or caressing. And the zina of the feet is walking. The soul wishes and desires, and the private parts confirm or deny that. All these different body parts, they hear foul stuff or zina type things, see it, walk towards it, caress it, touch it, grab it. This is what people do, and this is things that they're not supposed to be doing. And then again it says the heart or the soul wishes and desires, and the private parts confirm or deny. Either the private parts is going to do that act that you desire, or it's going to deny it and not do it. And you can walk away from that. I have mentioned to you before about the three men who were in the cave, and the cave was blocked. Suddenly the cave was blocked by a large stone or rock. And so one man suggested, look, say something that you did solely for the sake of Allah, and maybe Allah will move the rock away. So each man said his story, and each time the rock moved away from the entrance. One of the stories was a man was very, very attracted to his cousin. He wanted to have sex with her. He almost do anything to have sex with her. Offer her money and anything that she wanted to have sex with this woman. And one time she agreed. And before he could enter in her and deflower her, she said to him, before you deflower me, think about it. Ask Allah for forgiveness. And he backed off. And he said, Ya Allah, I backed off for fear of you, a fear of you, my love of you. That's the reason that I backed off and did not commit this act with my cousin. And so Allah found that to be true 100%, and he moved the rock a little bit more from the entrance. And so you could do the same thing. You could say, Ya Allah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You want to have sex with me. I want to have sex with you. Then, inshallah, you're male, female, you get married. Or we'll get married to each other. Then we can have as much sex as we want, as a husband and a wife, with no problem in satisfying Allah. Again, it says here, the soul wishes and desires in the private parts confirm or deny that. Either private part, it does it by confirming the act and does it, or it denies itself that doing that act and with that individual. And so my students, I'm hoping you're getting what I'm saying regarding this act that is forbidding by Allah. And other faiths say the same thing, and not just Islamic faith, but I'm not getting into that. You go in and read for yourself, whatever faith you practice, and ask your faith leader, or look at your literature, and see for yourself, does it forbid having sex outside of marriage? Does it forbid that? And see for yourself, and think about it. Imam Hassan Amin told me in class that Islam says, no, you don't do that. Now do my faith forbids it? Because you want to be Allah to be happy with you and pleased with you and do those things that are going to make Allah happy and pleased with you. I encourage you to please do so. Muslim or non-Muslim, it doesn't matter. Please Allah. And that's what you want to do. You want to do things that are going to be pleasing to Allah and not to other individuals. So let me move on. I just want to read a couple more things, and then I will stop because our time is running short. It was related by Abu Huraira, who was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. He reported that Allah's messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, Allah fixed the very fortune of adultery, since a man will indulge in. There would be no escape from it. The adultery of the eyes is the lustful look, and adultery of the ears is listening, meaning to a song or to a talk. And adultery of the tongue is of course speaking the foul language to an individual, or I want you, I need you, I gotta have you. Whatever you say in order to lure the person to do whatever they're going to have sex with you, married to this person, and you're not married to that individual. But let me move on. Also, adultery of the hands, meaning a lustful grab or embrace. And adultery of the feet is to walk to the place where he intends commit adultery. And the heart yearns and desires which he may or may not put in effect. And so it's basically the same thing the earlier hadith I read to you, saying from the Prophet Muhammad, I read to you, but it's got to have some little more detail when you're talking about a lustful grip or grab or embrace of the individual. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he traveled with two companions, and he was showing them, they were showing him what goes on and the different torments that people are going to experience that are in hell. And so he saw different things in the hellfire, in that area. And so he came across, there was an oven. And inside the oven, it was kind of, only way I can explain it, it's kind of comb shape. So anytime you have an ice cream cone or something, and you have it like kind of small at the bottom and wide at the top, it was kind of like that shape, if you will. And so the people inside there, they were naked, and they were screaming, and they're trying to scrape themselves out of the comb shape oven, and they were naked. And so he inquired about them. He was informed later on about who those people were or are. And so these companions, they said, the people inside that oven, and you saw screaming, trying to scrape and get themselves out, these were the people, the fornicators or the adultery people, the ones that had sex outside of marriage. Now, you may say to me, Imam, I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all this exists. Do you want to take the chance? Or maybe being one of those people? Why not just be the person that don't do it? And if you that attracted to the person, then marry the person. Particularly talking about male, female, and marry the person if you're able to do so, capable of doing so, and it's lawful for you to do so, and then you marry that individual, and then you can have sex without committing any crime. Are receiving any punishment for your act because of sexual intercourse, because you're married to that individual, and it's okay and okay for you to do. I want to read one other thing where it says, Abu Hurairah, he reported that Prophet, peace be upon him, said, when a man commits fornication, faith departs from him, and there is something like a canvas roof over his head. And when he quits that action, faith returns to him. So I just want to emphasize to my beautiful students is that when you are committing adultery and having sex with someone outside of marriage, for example, or fornicating, then if you're a person of faith, then your faith leaves you. And that kind of hovers over you while you're committing that particular act, wherever it may be. Sexual act, stealing, whatever. We're talking about sex right now, and you're committing that act right now. At that point, some of the hadith, I say in the Prophet Muhammad, the peace be upon him, said, at that point, this person is not a believer. That person lost their faith. You certainly don't want to die like that without your faith. At all, none of us want to do that. And so my students, I want to remind you that while you're committing this act of sexual intercourse, fornication, then your iman or your faith, it rises up and just kind of hovers over you like a canopy while you're committing that act. And if you commit that act and Allah ends up taking your soul, then you may be one of the people inside that oven burning up and trying your best to scrape and get out of the oven, meaning going from the wider part of the comb and trying to go up the smaller part of the comb to escape out of it. And you won't be able to do so because that's your punishment, because of the fact that you committed a fornication while you were in this world. So my students, from Islamic standpoint, fornication is forbidden. Adultery is forbidden. And I encourage you not to get involved in that at all and having sex outside of marriage. Look at your own faith and see what it says about fornication and adultery. Let me move on, my students, and end this at this time, this particular lesson. You have been listening to or attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.